So emergency medical teams are doctors, nurses, logisticians, water and sanitation specialists who would work in any emergency, but who come together in a team and with all of the supplies and resources and medicines and equipment that they need to be able to deploy their medical skills to a remote location or an area affected by a disaster, to be able to operate at the same high standards that they would operate in a hospital or a clinic, but in a field or in a clinic or in a church or a community hall. They're a deployable medical team that can set up a field hospital or a field clinic in just about any circumstances to be able to respond quickly to natural disaster or any other kind of emergency.
And what was the World Health Organization role?
Well, the World Health Organization has been working on emergency medical team development and coordination since the Haiti earthquake back in 2010. And one of the key functions that we have is supporting countries and organizations to develop their own national emergency medical team and develop that capacity through training, through buying of the equipment and supplies they need, and linking them up with other teams in the region and globally to share best practices, to coordinate on global standards, and to coordinate how they would support each other in an emergency. So national emergency medical teams respond within a country, but if a disaster is so large that it requires external support, we help to coordinate what teams come in, where they go, and how they're managed in conjunction with the country that's receiving them.
And they also have to pass an assessment too, don't they?
Yes, all international emergency medical teams have to be verified to deploy internationally. So they have to meet agreed upon global minimum standards, which looks at everything from their clinical practice to their ability to provide safe water, to maintain infection control standards, to produce power, and to treat a wide range of patient presentations. So they need to be able to deal with trauma cases. They need to be able to treat pregnant women. And the reason we have these standards and this verification process is so that any country requesting support will have complete confidence that the team that's coming in will provide high quality care, that they'll be self-sufficient, and basically you should feel confident that they're good enough for you to take your family to, and that the standards don't drop just because it's an emergency.
And it's quite significant because this is the first team from the Pacific region.
Right, so the Fiji Emergency Medical Assistance Team, or FEMAT, is the first verified Pacific team for international response. Fiji has supported its neighbors and other countries in emergencies over recent years, and now they have this verified capacity, which is a real milestone. It's been a 3-year process for them to reach this point, and they are able now to deploy within the Pacific and really anywhere else if they're needed to support emergency response efforts. And they're the first small island state to do this, first country in the Pacific, and it just represents an amazing resource for them nationally and regionally.
What characteristics of the Pacific make it really important to have a team like this?
So there's a number of teams developing around the Pacific right now. I'm in Vanuatu at the moment, where we've just finished a training for a team here. And the dynamics are different in every part of the world, and that's why we focus on regional teams, but national and regional teams. But here in the Pacific, we're dealing with remote islands, limited infrastructure in some cases, limited local human resources. The Pacific populations are small and the ministries of health are small, but these teams can deploy and provide search support to facilities that are still standing and operating, or they can set up their own facilities on very remote islands. They can produce their own water, they can treat water, they can produce their own power, and so they're able to bring this very high standard of care even to very small outer islands with small populations.
And this would include all types of disaster response too, wouldn't it?
They can respond to any kind of disaster. They can deploy by boat. They can deploy by air. They can be dropped in by helicopter if there's a chopper available. And they can also work on outbreaks. So we've seen emergency medical teams deploy in the Pacific for outbreaks before and around the world. And that's always a threat. So these teams are really able to adapt quickly. They're modular. They can scale up or down, and they can use their resources in different ways. So if it's an earthquake or a cyclone or a dengue outbreak, whatever the case may be, they'll be able to respond, and most importantly, to be self-sufficient and maintain those high standards.
And how does this project fit in with the the World Health Organization's broader health efforts in the Pacific?
Oh, in a number of ways. So obviously emergency preparedness and response to any kind of hazard is a high priority for the World Health Organization. We are supporting and working with all of the countries of the Pacific to improve and strengthen their ability to prepare for and respond to outbreaks and natural disasters. And it's obviously something we're focusing on as national capacity. So while the Fiji Emergency Medical Assistance Team is an international emergency medical team, their first function is as a national response capacity. And so it fits in with our commitment to supporting member states and countries in the Pacific to be able to manage their own emergencies, prepare for their own emergencies that happen frequently in this part of the world, and to do so in a way that's integrated within the health system. It's part of the health workforce, and it's part of the National Ministry of Health and the National Emergency Response Architecture in these countries.
And have you done this in partnership with other member states or organizations?
Yes, so WHO is a convening partner in this, along with the ministries of health of the countries that we're supporting in this project. But we also get significant support from Australia and New Zealand, both in terms of funding, but also in terms of technical support and mentorship and training.
And just on a personal note, do you find this work very fulfilling?
Oh, absolutely. I've just wrapped up a simulation here today after 5 days of training, and it was incredible to see the commitment of the medical staff and the non-medical staff, the police, everybody who is involved. This work is really about saving lives and getting out to the most affected areas as quickly as possible to support communities and individuals who are injured or sick. And so I don't think there's anything that can be more motivating than that, than saving lives.